Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
friend? Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk, and it's a snowy, blustery, windy morning out there. We've got actually the first winter snowfall of the year here, and there is a snow advisory out there for anybody that's listening locally and live on WRLR 98.3 LPFM. You're going to want to be careful about that. Your host made it in quite all right, though. The roads are actually in pretty decent shape, so it's not so bad, which is a good thing, because we've got a great show coming up today, although we will not be joined by our good friend Dave Sparky Saganaki. He's downtown doing the Ron Santos 5K, dressed up like Santa Claus, he says, and doing all that, which is great. I believe that that's being done for homeless people in Chicago, so just a great cause, and good for him for being out there on this kind of a weathery day. Got to be excited about that. I wish I was out there with you, Dave. I love a good 5K, and apparently this one sounds like it's more of a shuffle than a run, especially going through some of the snow and drifts and all that you may have downtown. I know we got a couple of inches up here. I'm not sure what it's like down there, but like I said, going to be a great show today. We're missing Dave, but we're going to have Jay on, I believe. We've got all of our Skype and connectivity issues resolved that we had the last few weeks when we were talking to Popular Science, when we were talking to Jay, attempting to talk to all these people. I think we got it all worked out. We're going to have on Jay Garman in just a little bit. And then after that, we're going to have Denise Terry. Now, Denise Terry is with Safety Web. She's going to talk to us about cyberbullying. She's going to talk to us about sexting. She's going to talk to us about ways that you can help manage your kids, make sure that they're safe online, and well, without being a big spy, without doing the Big Brother thing. And I'm not sure how that's going to work. I'm interested to talk to her and find out. I personally, I don't have any problems with being a spy. I'm okay with that. That's a good thing as far as I'm concerned if it's done properly. But she's got she'll have some good info for us and updates on that. So that'll be good. Of course, we'll wind up with the cool sites of the week. And then to top that off, you know, we're going to have the podcast only song of the week as well. So you want to stay tuned for the whole hour on WRLR. You're listening to Tech Talk. And you know what? Before I even get in, I want to let people know and remind you, don't be afraid to be social. There are so many ways to contact and connect with Tech Talk. You can be part of the show easily. Send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm with cool site suggestions, ideas, comments, questions. I've gotten a lot of questions lately. You can even give us a phone call, 847-984-0847. Leave us a message. I will sometimes play those on air. So if you have desire to hear your voice on air, you can do it that way. We've also got Facebook sites. There's Twitter. If you go to Twitter @TechTalkWRLR, there's a whole bunch of ways to get through to us. Like I said, just don't be afraid to be social. Connect with us. I love hearing from you, especially without Dave around. Dave, if you're listening right now, gosh darn it, get back into the studio. We miss you. Next week, we're going to have Cisco on. I know Dave is a big fan of Cisco and Linksys products, so I think I might be able to convince him to come in there. Hey, I got a lot of... Actually, speaking of technology, security updates, all this good stuff, I got a couple of hot stories I got to share with you right now to let you know what's going on with some stuff, particularly right now. If you've got a Windows 7 PC that's running 64-bit and you're a big fan of the freebies like me, especially security freebies like AVG, that's for antivirus group, AVG 2011. If you've updated that recently, guess what, folks? It's going to crash your 64-bit Windows 7 PC. not fun, especially when you're trying to protect yourself and then you wind up instead on the other end of things and screwing up your whole machine possibly. Not good at all. You know what, though? If you haven't put the update in, hold off. Just don't do it. You know they're going to be on top of this. They're going to fix it. They've had a couple problems like this in the past, AVG has, and they've always been right on top of it within a few days getting that resolved. So if you haven't put the update in yet, just chill out. Wait a little bit. It'll be fixed. The other thing that you can do, though, too, is, and this is via /dot, there is a location on AVG's site where you can get a quick fix. If you can get into your machine and not crash it, which means probably you're going to have to kill AVG out of the startup, go into forums.avg.com. It'll be the very first thread up there. You're going to see it all over the place in the AVG free forum area, and go take a look for that. You'll find that there is a fix for it. I'm not going to go into the details because it's going to bore everybody who doesn't have AVG, but there is a way around it. Just that you need to be aware of that, though. So good stuff, good stuff. There's a talking about security and things like this. We were talking about spying and things. I wasn't sure if I wanted to jump into this, but gosh, it's just too relevant, I guess, to that line of conversation, is that just in the last couple of days it's come out that the feds possibly, depending on how you look at it, might be abusing their surveillance legality and the ability that they have under the wiretapping laws to surveil us, to make sure that criminals and bad guys aren't doing the wrong things, or that they can find them when they need to. Well, now there are laws in place, of course, to allow the legal forces to what's considered wiretap us. We, you know, they can listen to our phone calls, they can follow our credit card purchases, they can do all sorts of things that they need to in order to track down, hunt down, and capture these really bad guys. And that's a good thing. We want those laws to be there. However, we also need those laws to protect us from maybe a little bit of overreaching on the part of some of the legal forces or people that shouldn't be being surveilled in any way. We need an expectation in our society of a certain level of privacy. Well, it turns out right now that once again, various intelligence agencies have potentially abused their powers to spy on people with no oversight. What they're talking about right now, you might have heard a little bit about this on the news in different places, but there is a way that has been used recently that is allowing FBI in particular and some other agencies to not have to file with a judge to get a subpoena placed. The Justice Department is basically just allowing agents to write their own subpoenas, to say, I want to follow this guy, I'm going to write it up, I'm going to say what I need to do. That's going to give me the case file, the case code that I need, and the power of the judicial system to go to the credit card companies, to go to the mobile phone operators, to go to rental car companies, to go even to your local. Do you have one of those Fresh Value cards? You got one of those the Walgreens or the Walmarts or the Dominick's or those Super Values and all this other stuff. Those cards, you know, where you get the extra little bit of coupon and a buck off of the eggs or whatever it is that you're buying. They can track that too. Guess what? It's not that tough. And in fact, because that's all data, it's all data being collected, once they have entree into that. Now I guess that one of the reasons why this is being allowed to happen is it's a little bit of a gray area, because there's a definitional issue. They call this a hot track, is what they're trying to do, is they're trying to track somebody in real time and find out where they are, what they're doing. You know, if you can track somebody's gas purchase, if you can track their grocery store purchase, you got a pretty darn good idea of where they are, where they're going, and what they're up to. Where the definitional issue comes in is this wiretapping, live data wiretapping, where you're saying listening to someone's phone call, reading their emails as they're being sent, things like this, or is it merely a review of historical data? What defines historical when it's in relation to data? I mean, by some definitions, your data is historical the instant after you've done whatever it is that you've done. So if you've purchased 4 gallons of gas 2 seconds ago and you put the little lever down and the nozzle back in the hook, well, now it's history. It's done with. So by that definition, yes, you can just write your own subpoena as a law enforcement official and grab the data and see what's going on. So I think there's some things that need to be worked out. I guess the bottom line, don't do bad things. They'll find you. They'll figure it out. And don't make one of these guys mad, because they'll work their way around the system and they'll surveil you even if they shouldn't be. No. I've worked very closely with a number of law enforcement officials. None of the people that I've worked with, it gives me any impression that this is something that's going on, that the government is rife with these types of individuals who would abuse this power. But we do need the laws in place there for a reason, specifically to protect against that. So just something to be curious about, I thought was a very interesting article. And of course, as we're talking about the judicial system and our data and historical data versus live data, another big thing that's been a lot of discussion here is WikiLeaks. If you haven't heard about WikiLeaks, I mean, you know, you got to turn on the radio once in a while, or perhaps go online. And WikiLeaks is a site, though, that has been providing information which is official information that was not intended for public release. And in fact, in most cases, it's information that was even in fact covered by our security policies and laws within the government. And it's out there. They get it. They got a leak. They've got the information and they're publishing it, not only nationally, of course, but this is the internet, so it's worldwide. It's been an embarrassment to not only the American government, but also to some of our cohorts and compatriots and so on, not only in Russia, but people that we're working with closely in Pakistan and things like this. Not good stuff. And you've got a lot of reaction, and in some cases overreaction, trying to shut this thing down. Now, the logical way to approach it, of course, would be to say, well, let's take a look at how this information got out in the first place. Let's plug those leaks. And then this WikiLeaks guy has got nothing. He's got nothing to go on, right? And no, that's not the way they want to go about it. Joe Lieberman and a few others are attempting to really just knock this down out of the park and censor it directly. And in fact, they've put pressure on different organizations and groups. Amazon, for example, has refused to host WikiLeaks anymore, which is an interesting step for what should be essentially an infrastructure provider to take. What they're doing is they're taking, in essence, a moral stand on, or perhaps a legal stand on, who they choose to provide services to. Not something that your providers typically want to be involved in. And in fact, directly in conflict with some of the phrases and statements that they made. Amazon, just what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, when it was discovered that there was a book on Amazon.com that specifically gave information about how pedophiles could improve their craft, or whatever you want to call it, their ability to engage in their illegal practices. And Amazon came out at that point and said, hey, we're not in the business of censoring books, and we don't want to be involved in censoring these things. We're not censors. Bottom line, we're not censors. That's what Amazon said. Now, 3-4 weeks later, they've said, hey, we're going to censor WikiLeaks because we don't like it. It is a tough road to be down. It really is. Now, the French were also hosting WikiLeaks. There was another hosting service out there on the French side. The French company took a very different manner about it, one which I got to say I respect a great deal. Rather than coming down and saying, oh, hey, you guys don't like it, we're shutting it down, we'll figure out the legality later, let's talk about that. No, they didn't just shut him down. They went directly to their judge, the Supreme Court in France, and said, hey, is this okay for us to do what we're doing? Is this okay for us to host WikiLeaks? should we shut them down? What's, you guys make the decision. You guys are the legal system, not us. We're just hosters. We're just infrastructure. We're just data services. You tell us what to do. But since it's an issue, you know what? We're going to be proactive. We're going to come up to you and ask you to make a call on it. Just make the call. How smart is that? That is just incredible. That is exactly the way business like this should be run. And I got to say, hats off or chapeaus off to the French. You know, just a great way to go. Now, there hasn't been a decision made for them, but WikiLeaks is probably on the way out just because of the various levels of pressure that they're getting from all over the place. So, you know, like I said, a lot of stuff going on with security, a lot of stuff going on with spying and all that stuff. I can't wait. In a little while, we're going to talk to Denise Terry, and she's going to come on and talk to us about all the really cool stuff that's going on with spying on your own family. She's not going to want to hear it talk like that, but she'll have some good stuff to say. You know who we need to talk to right now, though? Jay Garman. I'm going to give this guy a call. Now, we've had so many problems, technically, trying to connect with Jay over the last few weeks. I don't even know if he's going to bother picking up the phone at this point. Oh, good morning.
Hey!
Oh my gosh!
Actual audio connection. This is awesome.
Oh my gosh! He can hear us. I can hear you. It's fantastic. I promised people early on in the show. I said all the problems are resolved. I know we've got it figured out. So, well, now that I'm a man of leisure, you know, I've got nothing but time on my hands to figure out these technical issues. So, as I shared with you earlier.
So I heard. condolences on your employment transition, sir, but glad you still have time for those of us that don't pay you anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I always have time for you, Jay. It's never a question. In fact, the nice thing is this opens up my Easter. I've already talked to my wife. We're pretty much there. We're going to the conglomeration event down in Louisville. So that's I just have to go in and make the reservations and so on. We'll be all set. So I love how everybody calls it a transition too. You know, no one says, hey, you got your butt canned, buddy. You're in transition.
We assume you're going to be rehired. You know, it's not like some people get fired. It's like, I have no idea if I'm ever going to work again. You're just like, someone's going to hire me. You can't leave this talent on the side behind.
That's what I've been telling everybody. Exactly. And I went to one of these job circles and I hope nobody's listening, but it's kind of you go in and you got the smell of slightly stale coffee and there's pastries and there's just a whole room full of people and then there's the smell of desperation and you start talking. It's like, oh my gosh, is this really, am I gonna wind up being here for like 18 months, you know, sitting in this social group of people that can't find work? Please don't make it so. but it's actually a good thing. It had been part of my plan eventually to transition away from the group I was working with. Anyways, it just happened a lot more abruptly and quicker than I expected. But hey, we're moving on. It's like I said, it gives me a lot more time to spend here and making sure everything is working, which it is today.
Excellent. Well, and hopefully, you know, I know that in your previous position, you had to travel a lot, and I know that put a little bit of strain on the folks at home. Here's hoping you can lock down a position where you don't have to be away quite so much.
Yeah. I like a little bit of travel, but it was getting rather excessive. And part of the reason for that excessive travel was specifically because of the reason why I'm transitioned out of it now, is that they've moved my position out to one of the locations that I was going to all the time. So, which made more sense for the company, not great sense for me personally, but, you know, that's the way of the world. So, I like a little bit of travel, and one of the nice things about the going to conglomeration there in Easter time is I've got enough miles and things saved up that I should be able to support at least a hotel night or two without having to put out actual money.
Excellent. Well, just make sure you book through our local booking portal. We recognize all the points and whatnot, but the convention gets credit for that and helps us with the venue rental. So. Just book through the website if you can, buddy.
Awesome. And that's conglomeration.info. Is that correct, with a K for conglomeration?
No, it's a C, but it is with it is .info. It used to be .org, but we got domain snatched out from under us, so we had to transition to .info about 18 months ago. So some of our old-time fans are still having a little trouble with that. Fortunately, even the old-timers know us on Facebook. So.
Okay. Yeah, and I did friend Conglomeration on Facebook, so I've been getting the updates every once in a while when they come out with stuff that's going on. It's actually. They have really interesting links. Anyways, it's worthwhile, even if you have no intention or plan of going to the convention, the sci-fi convention down in Louisville this year, the links that Conglomeration puts up are always pretty darn cool.
I have to credit my programming co-chair, Marcia White, with that. She does most of that, and she's really good at it. And, you know, it's sort of our social media philosophy, you know, both of us being students of that a little bit, is we only have so much per year to actually say about the convention, and we don't want you to forget us. So we know you like sci-fi and fantasy. We're going to tell you about sci-fi and fantasy, but we're not telling you about where you can buy tickets and who's coming. And with any luck, we have – I can't name names, but we have an agreement in principle with our author guest of honor, and we're just not going to announce it until we have signature on a contract. But it's somebody really, really cool, and I'm not going to say who it is other than if you are a big fan of Star Trek – and or a big fan of The Incredible Hulk, you're going to like this author.
Ooh, awesome. Man, I'm going to have to do some Googling and wikiing to figure out who it might be, hopefully by next week. That'll be our first trivia question of the week is who is Jay talking about that's got links to both Incredible Hulk and Star Trek? Awesome. Well, that's great. I was kind of I was getting concerned. We're getting closer and closer to the date, and I think maybe that's sometimes how it happens, is that people don't know what their schedule's like until it gets pretty close to events like that.
Yeah, you know, contrary to popular opinion, it wasn't hard finding people who wanted to go to a convention on Easter. There were a lot of them. In fact, there are a lot of conventions on Easter weekend, especially in Europe. My problem was there are a lot of conventions on Easter weekend, especially in Europe. So I was just sort of like, yeah, I'd love to come. I'm booked. Yeah, I'd love to come. I'm booked. Yeah, I'd love to come. I'm booked. Yeah, I'd love to come. I'm booked the week before. I don't want to travel 2 weeks in a row, so on and so forth. It's like, wow, I have a whole lot of people who someday might come here but aren't coming here this year. Okay.
Yep. Oh man. Well, I'm glad that's sorting out. And again, just to remind people, it's conglomeration.info with a C, and they can also connect there through jgarman.net too, because I know you got a lot of hooks and links on there to the stuff going on and all that good stuff. You know, I'm not gonna make you redo the answer from like a month ago before we started having all of our problems. I think we got enough of the answer a couple of times that people know how many of the 75 weren't pieces on the moon were not American or Russian. And if somebody's listening and says, oh my gosh, I got to find out what that answer is, go back and go on to techtalk.wrlr.fm, and the answers are right on there. You'll find them. But I should jump in. I've actually, it's a good thing we got the Skype thing working out. I've got an interview with Denise Terry from Safety Web, who's going to be on in just a couple minutes. So I've got to keep us kind of moving rather quickly today. What's the finally, after all this time, you must have just a fantastic, I know you always have great geek trivia questions, but it's got to be a great one this week, I'm sure.
Well, because I've been gone for so long, I'm going to give you two.
Oh man. Bonus.
Yeah. All right. So the first one is a little bit easier one, a little bit more off the beaten path. But tomorrow in nerd circles is known as the Day of the Ninja. It is the counterpoint holiday to Talk Like a Pirate Day, because, you know, pirates and ninjas are apparently natural enemies in the geek circle. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, December 5th, is the Day of the Ninja, or Creep Like a Ninja Day. What cult classic tabletop game inspired Day of the Ninja? That's question one. In game circles, it's a huge game, but a lot of folks that don't know gaming really well may not know it. But this game created the Day of the Ninja holiday as a promotional thing, and it totally caught on, and now, like, tech nerds everywhere celebrate Day of the Ninja. So that's question one. Question two is, since we're all stringing up Christmas lights or illuminated Hanukkah or Kwanzaa decorations and whatnot, or any other Saturnalia or solstice decorations of your like, I'm going to do an electricity question. In 1882, Edison Electric Company began supplying DC power to Manhattan. because Thomas Edison famously backed DC current over Nikola Tesla's alternating current, and luckily Tesla won because AC is a much superior technology. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, Edison was successful enough that there are still today functioning DC systems in Manhattan that he originally supplied, and it wasn't until very recently that those systems got supplied by AC current with a step down system that converted it to DC. Con Edison in New York was until very recently still supplying DC power lines to buildings in Manhattan for stuff from the Edison era. So the second and more important question is, in what year did Consolidated Edison stop supplying DC power to Manhattan customers?
Ooh, wow, that's a great question. Man, and then stopped frying cows too. Was it Edison who was showing the cows being electrocuted, or was that Tesla that was trying to show the cows?
Well, he hired a guy named Brown to go do that, and yeah, he would use AC current to fry cows and famously an elephant that had gone rogue at a circus, and he also indirectly supplied promoted the development of the AC electric chair as a method of execution. As part of his whole effort to discredit Tesla, and it didn't work because, for those that don't know the history, basically George Westinghouse and Tesla, who used to work for Edison, built the Niagara Falls first hydroelectric facility, and it was AC, and it can transmit over distances, whereas DC power, you basically have to have a power plant every mile, which is not successful. In Manhattan today, there are still hotels from that era that have DC power plants in their basements because they had to have on-premise generation that ran on coal or gas and ran their elevators. So that was sort of the Edison model, sort of sell you a generator.
Huh. Interesting. Boy, yeah, would have changed the corporate landscape in America if that had come through. Imagine the amount of infrastructure build out that would have required and everything to get that happening. Kind of similar to what happened with Comcast and AT&T and Bell and so on once the once all that happened. Oh man, no, that's a great question. So what year did they stop supplying DC power in Manhattan, Con Ed. So excellent, man. Well, that's great. I really wish, especially since this is the first time we've been able to talk and like actually talk and hear each other in a month. I wish we had a little bit more time. Next week though, I know Dave is going to be back. We'll get you on. I promise. I'll try to give you a buzz a little bit earlier, and we'll spend a little more time. We'll catch up on what's happening. We'll get the answers to two questions. So that's another good one too, is the Day of the Ninja and what game inspired tomorrow's Day of the Ninja.
Correct. And in what year did Consolidated Edison finally stop supplying DC power in Manhattan? So I'll have two answers for the gang next week, and no peeking at your presence until then.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks a lot, Jay. Have a great week. We'll be in touch soon.
All right. Take it easy, buddy.
Take care. Oh boy, it's great to have Jay back on. I love that. As if you haven't been listening to us the last couple of weeks, boy, it's been frustrating. It's just been a real tough time. We haven't been able to get connected the way that we've wanted to, not through any fault of Skype. So I want to make sure that that's understood. This is not an issue with Skype. It really is an issue solely and only on the Tech Talk and WRLR side, but we've got it all resolved. Now, of course, we need to make one more phone call. We're going to have Denise Terry on here of Safety Web. Maybe just a second or two behind. Let's see what we can do here. Hopefully we have the same success with her that we just had with Jay. I'm getting the number in here. There we go. All right. And I'm excited about this. You know, in the past we've had Perry...
Hello.
Good morning, Denise. Boy, you picked up so fast. I was going to try and do a little bit of an intro for you. You are on air on Tech Talk on WRLR. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm flying solo today. Normally, we've got a couple other people in the studio, but it's just me. So you know what I'm going to do, though? I'm going to treat you as if you were my co-host, but I'll let you introduce yourself, and then we'll dive into talking about Safety Web and cyberbullying and some other great stuff.
Sounds great. Sure. My name is Denise Terry, and I'm with SafetyWeb.com. I'm the chief safety mom here, and we help parents protect their children online on social networking sites like Facebook, as well as on their cell phone, alerting them to what activity their child is doing online.
Cool, which I know is a big concern for a lot of people, especially maybe those that listen to the show that you're not as technically savvy as others. You're not building your own machines. You're not in there on Facebook and on Twitter and all the other stuff. You know, and don't necessarily want to say you're of a different generation, but it's not inculcated in part of who we are if we haven't been around and aren't 15 in the 2000s. Do you see that kind of separation a lot between people? There's a lack of understanding as to what their kids are doing.
Absolutely. We have parents who come to us all the time and they tell us, you know, I am more clueless than my teenager. Tell me what to do. How do I parent my teen who's always on their cell phone texting, who's always on Facebook, spends hours online? And if the parent themselves is not on Facebook, well, then there's a problem there. So we caution parents to keep on top of their kids' activity so that they can be, if not as tech savvy, a little bit more tech savvy, especially when it relates to the sites that their kids are using, namely Facebook, you know, MySpace, and some kids are now are even getting on Twitter.
Yeah. I think that's part of the issue, though, too, is that, you know, you have people, parents that are struggling to keep up with the kids and make sure they manage them and so on. And, it used to be, oh, MySpace, you know, don't let them on MySpace. That's the big issue. Now it's not MySpace anymore. Now it's Facebook. Now it's Twitter, Foursquare. You've got all these new things coming up. How do you keep on top of that? How do you make sure that you're at the places where your kids are?
Absolutely. Well, Safety Web helps parents because we know the internet. You know, you and I have been on the internet a long time. The internet is a vast and wonderful place, but it's also a place where, you know, it's not necessarily age appropriate for young preteens or, you know, tweens and teenagers themselves. So I think it behooves parents to stay on top of their activity. But gosh, every parent that I know doesn't have enough time just to keep up with the regular day-to-day offline activities, let alone what their child is doing online and on cell phones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really tough to keep up on this. Now, I know I went, of course, and I looked at the Safety website, and I took some time surfing around there, and I see in big letters all over the place that Safety Web can help you do all this and keep track of your kids, know what they're up to, but without spying. I'm a big fan of spying. I'm okay with that. I want to spy on my kids, you know? So I guess my first question is, I mean, why do we want to do it without, you know, quote-unquote spying?
Here's a good analog to that. So you know, back in the day before cell phones, when, you know, your friend would call you up at home on the landline, your mom picked up, you know, in the kitchen and said, okay, yes, you know, you can talk to him. He's available. So she knew exactly who you were talking to. You know, maybe you didn't have a phone in your room, so your conversation was pretty unprivate. And nowadays, you know, kids have cell phones. They have access to Facebook in their rooms. You know, parents don't know what they're doing. But at the same time, you know, would you open your kid's diary and read every page that they wrote? Probably not, right? So there's a line of kind of privacy that we feel is important, especially for kids of older age. So if you've got an 8 or 9 year old, you know, maybe privacy doesn't matter so much. Maybe you've got, parental control software that prevents them installed on the computer that prevents them from going to certain sites, right? So that's only child-friendly sites. Mm-hmm. But once you've got a 15, 16, 17-year-old high schooler, I mean, that's not going to fly anymore, right? So so we feel that it was important to give parents the peace of mind that they know when their child is maybe posting things online that might endanger them, endanger their reputation, endanger their safety in some way. So we alert the parent with an email, with a text message, if their child's content is worrisome and should, you know, warrant a further look. But it also gives the child the ability to, you know, post things on Facebook and have their, you know, their conversations with their friends without their parent, you know, having to read every single word.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does that work? Is it based on heuristics? Do you have people that are actually reviewing all of the posts? Or, I mean,
well,
how does it determine?
Sure. So we find the child's social networking profiles across over 100 sites through a simple email address that the parent provides us. And they can provide unlimited numbers of email addresses because we know, you know, teens can be sneaky. They can have multiple emails.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we scour the web across all the sites that we monitor, and we find the profiles that are public, both public and private. We show the parent what information their child has made available for the whole world to see. So the parent can then have a conversation with their child. Hey, I'd really prefer it if your Facebook, you know, profile was private, for example, if only your friends and your parents saw it. And then what we do is we have a very intelligent engine that basically monitors every word, every, you know, phrase that is posted by the child or to the child across those networks. And then what we'll do is flag certain content based on categories like bullying and threats, profanity in adult language, possible contact by an adult. We'll let you know if your child is friends with an adult over the age of 21 so that you can look at their, you know, picture and the details about that friend and talk to your child. If that's somebody that you don't know who's not a family friend, then you can let your child know that that's not appropriate. So we do that automatically for the parent so that, again, they don't have to be online all the time checking all of their child's multiple accounts. We just let them know when there's content there or there's activity there that needs to be looked at in more detail.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying that this is also can be applied, though, to their mobile communications. If
exactly.
They're like an iPad or iPhone and all the other good stuff.
Their cell phone specifically. So, you know, over 75% of teenagers now, you know, I think under the age of 17, have a cell phone and text a lot. And
mm-hmm.
So parents were telling us, look, this is a great service for Facebook, but my kid's on their cell phone 24/7. How do I know that they're using it safely? So one of the things that we do is we integrate with, you know, the major wireless carriers. We allow the parent to pull in the call details as well as the text message activity logs into one interface at safetyweb.com. So they log in, check the mobile activity for their child, and they'll know exactly who are the people that are calling and texting my child the most. You know, when is he using his phone to text and call out? Is it being used in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., for example, or during school hours, which a lot of schools these days are now restricting the use of cell phones in the classroom. So we'll alert the parent if their child is using their cell phone outside of those kind of allowable hours.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You know, and I know you mentioned, of course, you know, there's this line that you don't want to cross with, you know, once they get to a certain age of, you know, restricting versus working with the child. But there's some services that I don't know if there's an option. If you just need to be able to say, look, you can't use Foursquare. You can't put your location out with Google Latitude,
mm-hmm.
even though your phone's got GPS. You know, would you agree with that, or do you think there's ways to manage that too?
Well, we do monitor Foursquare, Google, you know, all these sites now that have location enabled, even Facebook has Facebook Places, and if your child hasn't set that, you know, privacy setting correctly and locked that down, she could be broadcasting her location to all sorts of people out there with, you know, bad intentions. So, you know, we tell parents what the privacy settings are across all the sites that their child is on. We do alert for location, and we'll, you know, we think it's important that the parent know when a new account on some other site is created, so we'll let them know as soon as a new profile is found for their child. You know, again, it depends on the age of the child. It depends on the relationship between the parent and that specific child. You may treat an 18-year-old differently than your 13-year-old and set different rules, and we allow the parent to customize the alert settings so that they can, you know, based on the child's age and what they know about the child and whether, you know, how trustworthy they are, whether or not that child's going to abide by the family rules. And we do feel it's important that families set rules around usage of the internet, usage of Facebook and cell phones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess all of this kind of leads to, you know, and the emphasis on not spying is it leads to, these are things that you're not doing, you know, distinctly or separately or, you know, excluding your child in the conversation, that it's really something to bring that dialogue out and make it part of the conversation.
Exactly, and it really does allow the parent to embrace the technology in a way, in an educated way, as opposed to being afraid of it or, you know, because they don't know how to navigate it. So we really help educate parents, for one. We have free resources on safetyweb.com across a whole host of issues from cyberbullying to sexting to, you know, what is your child saying on their text messages. You know, kids are talking in acronyms these days, and parents can't decipher it. So we help them do that. So we educate the parents first and foremost, and then we give them this very, you know, automated and powerful tool to alert them if there's something that they need to take a look at in more detail. And then they can have an educated and informed conversation with their child from a place of knowledge and not fear. And that's really important.
Yeah. And in fact, mentioning the free resources, I wanted to bring up, you know, one of the things that I looked at was you have a great post on the Safety Web blog. It's 5 steps that you can take right now today to work with your child and start protecting them and getting them to understand what protecting themselves means. I don't have the link up in front of me, but if they just go to safetyweb.com, where can they find the blog posts that are up there?
Oh, absolutely. So we have resources for parents. If you go to safetyweb.com and click on the For Parents link, you'll see a whole host of resources. We also have a blog we update weekly, blog.safetyweb.com, with timely issues related to privacy, you know, how to set your child's privacy settings, the top 5 things you can do to prevent, you know, cyberbullying, and you know, what to do if your child does in fact get cyberbullied. So, you know, we have hundreds of articles that we've written over the last year and a half that we've been online to help parents, and these are free resources. Everyone can read them and have access to them. And also we provide parents with a free sample report. So if you're curious, so for example, one of the trends we heard about from parents recently was that a lot of preteens, 11 and 12 year old kids are asking and nagging their parents for a Facebook account. Mm-hmm. So even though, you know, the Facebook won't let you really have an account until you're 13, officially. Some preteens are lying about their age and saying, well, my friend is on Facebook. She lied about her age, and I want to be on Facebook to share photos and talk to my friends because that's where they're hanging out. So we will let the parent know, for example, has your child been sneaky and gotten themselves a Facebook account without your knowledge?
Yeah, which is great. And I actually went on and I did one of the reports. I did it on myself. I've got a 10-year-old is the oldest, and he's, you know, he gets on to YouTube. He gets into, you know, in posting videos of himself on YouTube. He gets into some of these things like this, but he's not yet being pressured from the other kids to have, you know, your own email, your own Facebook, your own all that. So we're able to right now control and manage that. But the report was great. It actually, I did the report on myself, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that site.
Exactly. Those of us who've been on the web for more than 10 years, we have tons of accounts out there, you know, in the ether, just kind of wait, you know, lying dormant. Mm-hmm. So we let you add, again, a limited number of email addresses for your child. So, you know, you can know if he or she has changed their email address anytime in the last, you know, year. We'll find the new ones as well.
Yep. Now, one thing I want to hit on, we're going to take us a little bit off track from where we were talking right now, is we talked just briefly about cyberbullying. And mm-hmm. and I know that from the emails that I get from people, and whenever this topic comes up, you know, I get a lot of questions about people wanting to know, what is cyberbullying, number one, and how is that different from, you know, kids shoving each other on the playground? And
sure.
You know, what's the big deal, basically?
So you know that, you know, back in the day before the internet, bullying existed, right? Kids have been mean for centuries, mm-hmm. to each other. And so now, with the introduction of the internet and places like Facebook and other social networks where kids are spending the majority of their time online, that behavior has just become digital. And the thing that's important to know about cyberbullying as opposed to regular bullying, and with bullying, I mean, it's not just the, you know, playground tussles and physical aggression on the playground. This is, you know, ongoing teasing, taunting, you know, kind of persistent meanness directed at a child over a long period of time. That can happen offline, and it can also happen online. So with the advent of text messaging and Facebook now, that cyberbullying is almost inescapable for some children. So think about it this way. If you're being teased at school from the hours of 9 to 3, you go home, you used to have kind of a safe haven. You go home to your parents, you talk about it, or you don't talk about it, but you don't have to deal with it till the next morning when you go back to school. Now you go home, you check your Facebook account, your friends start texting you, the bullies start texting you too. So, right, so how do you get away as a child if you're being cyberbullied? So it's important, one, for that child to have an open conversation with their parent. Hopefully there's a relationship there where they can feel that they trust their parent enough to share that they're experiencing some online harassment. And if not, if the parent is using Safety Web, we will alert them if there's language that starts appearing on their child's wall that relates to hate language, teasing words. I mean, and it can be as simple as, a mean girl calling your daughter fat.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens every day of her high school career, that is bullying. That's cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Her self-esteem is going to be affected. She's not going to want to get on Facebook to talk to her real friends. If she gets text messages from an enemy, you should know.
And I think that's the thing that is sometimes tough for adults to get to, is that, we see the internet and the Facebook and things, and we have much more of a take it or leave it sort of attitude that, if somebody's bugging me on Facebook, forget about them. I'll go do something else, whatever. I'll read a book. That's not the way it is for kids anymore.
No, it's not. Think back to when you were 13, 14. I mean, this is a very tender time of adolescence when teens are forming their own identity. They're experimenting with who they are. Friendships are very important. I mean, their social life is so much more important to them than their academic, life or their future.
Mm-hmm.
And so they behave in a way, at 13, 14, 15, that may not be the best way to behave. If that's recorded online, and it often is, they have a permanent record of things they've said, pictures they've posted, what other people have posted about them, right? Even if your child is a decorated Olympian, right? They can, someone can still at a party take a photo of your child, tag it, unbeknownst to you or your child, and kind of ruin their future.
Yeah.
So, again, we think it's important for parents to stay on top of technology, to know what their child is doing online, keep up with Facebook, keep up with cell phones, but do it in a way that doesn't require a ton of time and investment.
Yeah.
So we alert them when there's something that they need to know. We give them the resources and educate them so that they can talk to their child in an informed way if there's a need to talk to them.
Yeah, and that's the worst too, is the permanence of a lot of this stuff. It used to be you'd have a friend say, I saw Denise picking her nose. Okay, big deal. It lasts for a week and it's done, but now, I've got a picture of Denise.
I've got a photo, and right, because every cell phone now has a camera. I mean, most do, right? And so you can snap a photo of a friend or someone that you're bullying and send it to everyone via text message, right? So now that content has just proliferated instantly. And so that's really the challenge with cyberbullying and just online behavior in general. Look, the internet is a permanent record, right? Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, just half-jokingly announced a few months ago, when someone turns 18, they should have the right to change their name to escape their digital past, right? I mean, if the CEO of Google is saying that, you've got to kind of pay attention to what that implies for everyone's future. Because, look, if what you do, offline can now be permanently recorded online, then you've really got to know what information is out there about me, my family, my children. What are they posting? What are people posting about them? And what do I really want to leave behind as a legacy, right, for a college admissions director to read 3 years down the line, or my future employers? I mean, how's that going to affect my kid's job prospects if, he's got all these photos of himself at parties doing bong hits? I mean, that's not going to be a great reputation to leave behind.
We've lost a key aspect of our freedom, and that aspect of our freedom is the freedom to make mistakes, and particularly the freedom to make mistakes in a social situation. It doesn't exist anymore, because that stuff stays now, and you can't learn how to be socially adept through trial and error, at least not online. And and that's why, you know, resources like SafetyWeb, resources, better yet, having a parent who cares and works with the child to make sure that they don't make those kind of permanent. And I mean, and this goes, you know, hand in hand with protecting the physical safety of the child, protecting the growth pattern of the child and the emotional health of the child, but also to protecting the child's future. And
absolutely.
You know, services like SafetyWeb, I think, are fantastic. Denise, I apologize. I've got to bring us to a close here. Again, to make sure that we get to the right places, there's safetyweb.com. And then you said it was blog.safetyweb.com. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. And that's available for free resources for parents.
And people should not, even though Denise Terry is a fantastic resource, don't just read the articles she posted on there. There's a lot of other good stuff, too.
Absolutely. We have a lot of great experts who provide advice, you know, weekly to our audience members. And so we really appreciate parents who are just taking the time to get more involved with their kids' lives online.
Absolutely. Denise Terry of SafetyWeb, it's been a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye. That was Denise Terry of SafetyWeb.com. I want you to consider that as one of your resources when you are looking to talk with your children about cyberbullying, about sexting, about the whole kit and caboodle, the whole business of stuff going on out there. You know, we've had a lot of great people on talking about this kind of stuff. Denise is fantastic, had a lot of great information for us, and there's even more out there on it. The most important thing, though, always at the end of the day, I think, talk to your kids. You know, it doesn't matter what age they are. It doesn't matter if they're going through those teen years and they don't want to deal with you. It doesn't matter. Just talk to them. Say, hey, you know, I'm your dad. I'm your mom. I'm concerned about this. I've made dumb mistakes. I don't want you to do the same things. I don't want things to be a problem. Well, hey, we got to jump into cool sites of the week. Let's see. I got one right away for you here. We only got a couple minutes, so I'm not even going to play our nice little intro music here. But first one I got to tell you about, this is really kind of cool. Do you ever like want to know a lot about a subject, but you go to the library, you look up online on Amazon.com, you do whatever, and you say, gosh, there's so much information about this. How do I even know what the best source of information is? How do I know that I'm getting not just the most recent, but actually the clearest picture of it? There's a place to go now. You can do this. Go to 5books.com, become an instant expert. That's what their tagline is. They will give you rated and picked by experts in whatever the field may be, the top 5 books that they would recommend to you on whatever the topic is. Right now, what's being featured on there is Champions, How to Become a Champion. And they've got a lot of great books on there. They've got Matthew Syed, who is the author of Bounce, How Champions Are Made, has his list of books. You've got that's not the only thing that's featured. They've also got Whodunits. They've got one on globalization, the 5 top books on globalization. Really, really a cool site. Even if you're not looking necessarily to become an expert, just to get some reading ideas, especially if you, like me, are one of those people that just got a new Kindle or other e-reader and are trying to figure out how to use it and what kind of books you want to grab. That's a great place to do it. Now, if you want to go actually buy those books, or better yet, some electronic stuff, you may be kind of frustrated because it's Christmas time. You're out there, you go and you pick up something, you're at whatever your local shop is, and you see a cell phone, you see a TV, you see whatever it is that is making the money burn a hole in your pocket, and you go, oh my gosh, this is a great deal, I gotta get it right now. And you buy it, and you get it home, and you open it up, and you're like, this is awesome, I saved hundreds of dollars on this. And that's when you get the phone call from your buddy who tells you that he got the exact same thing 2 blocks away, $50 less. And you kick yourself, and you go, gosh, darn it, why didn't I check that other spot? Well, there's a place you can go. You don't even have to worry about this anymore. Milo, local shopping. Go to Milo.com, M-I-L-O.com, and it'll automatically detect where you are that you're logging in from. You can do this on your cell phone, too. So even while you're there at the store making sure you're getting the right thing, it'll check local ads and online ads to make sure that you are getting the absolute lowest price that you can possibly get for that piece of equipment, whatever it is. Now, it's focused a lot on gadget stuff and electronic stuff. That's okay by me. That's usually what I'm out there looking for anyways. And those are kind of your bigger purchases, too. So pretty neat thing. Pretty neat thing. Hey, you know, another thing, too, that's pretty neat is there's been a lot of work lately on voice conversations and also too on recognizing voices, and you can actually create your own database of voice recordings. It's called VoiceBase. You can go to this site, you can upload and store recordings for anywhere, anytime access. As long as recordings are relatively clear, it will attempt to, just like Google Voice does, just like Nuance Technologies, just like Dragon Naturally Speaking, it will attempt to convert that speech to text so that you can search it. You can actually search your own recordings or other ones that you've put up and find stuff that you're looking for based upon the speech in it, not based upon meta tagging or anything else that you've needed to do. And then, of course, it also has the ability to let you share those recordings. You can even allow other people to put comments on them, put in bookmarks, all that kind of good stuff. Really neat stuff. VoiceBase.com. The initial stuff is free up to a point, and then you go beyond that point, you got to pay. But, you know, figure that out. It's still really cool, and definitely enough of it's free to make it a excellent candidate for the free cool site of the week. And boy, you know what, we are like right hitting up into the last minute. If Dave was here, Dave, just for you, I'm virtually tapping my wrist where my watch would be if any of us wore watches anymore, which of course we don't. I'm going to leave us with the podcast only song of the week, if I can find it. Where did I leave that thing? I know I've got it in here somewhere. There it is. I've got it. You know, if I don't have problems with the with the Skype connection, I'm going to have problems with the podcast song of the week, or I'm going to have problems with our cool sites. There's always some kind of technical problem. That's why we are Tech Talk, and you're listening to us. And don't be afraid to be social. Check us out. Send me an email. Give us questions. Answer the trivia. Whatever you want to do. We love hearing from you. TechTalk@WRLR.FM. Check us out on our website, techtalk.wrlr.fm. Give us a call, 847-984-0847. Find us on Facebook. Twitter us at TechTalkWRLR. Oh my gosh, there's like no end of ways to get through to us. And I'm going to leave you right now with, what is this? I'll figure it out. I'm going to leave you with Skip the Youth by Frightened Rabbit. It's from their album called The Winter of Mixed Drinks. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And we'll definitely be back at you next week when we're talking to Cisco and their Linksys product. Hey, take care, everyone. Have a great week. Thanks again for joining us. You've been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
I think about light, I think about lifting that brick off your mind. What's making you ill? Well, I know it's not quite the custom in this country, but if you never try, then you'll never. No, no you won't, oh no you won't. myself like the circus. Sounds sinister at first, but there's dancing girls. This is me and my brother giving blood on the street tonight. Oh, we are not messiahs. Ours is not the blood of Christ. Don't wait for a second. What you want, my number? Don't be too shy to give out your good blood. Oh, drive round town, give it out, yeah. You're spilling your guts, love. And you know two shows get you wanting in the first place. Might just come your way in a shape you could not expect. Me and my brother giving blood on the street tonight. Oh, we're not messiahs. Ours is not the blood of Christ. And don't wait for a second. What you want, my number? Drinking it neat. Are you thirsty like a murderer? Just been released. You should paint your face red, cause you're this close to death. And if it's running your veins, there's people in need.